Hello, pleasure lovers, and welcome to the Pleasure Talks podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. We have a juicy one here today. Our guest speaker is Buck Angel, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited to introduce you to this amazing person that I found at a dope conference. For those who are new here, this is the Pleasure Talks podcast. It's an amazing platform for people to share their own cannabis and sexual health stories, and everything that falls under the umbrella, from pleasure to pain, to sexuality, to toys, to CBD. We talk about it all. We feature doctors, sex educators, and just people themselves. And I find that these stories can be so incredibly empowering and so life-changing. So feel free to share with anybody if you think it's like-minded. And since we do talk a lot about cannabis, what I say at the beginning of every episode is we're not really here to treat, cure, or diagnose anyone. We're just here to show that cannabis has helped so many people around the world, and it could potentially help you as well. So without further ado, let's get into this pleasure conversation, because I so want to introduce you. How are you doing today, Buck Angel?
Oh my God, like that was an intro. Now, I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to stay up with that. But, you know, right? No, I'm great. I feel very honored to be on your show. Thank you for asking me. You're a super awesome person. And, you know, I think we're like-minded on many ways and cannabis being one. So I feel super excited to talk to you today.
Thank you. I'm so happy you're here. Like, I met Buck Angel at the Emerald Cup, I believe. Yeah, that's right. We spoke on a sex and cannabis panel, and we were just kikiing on stage the whole time. I was like, who is this new person? They have to be my new best friend. So I'm so happy you're here today. But for the audience who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a transsexual man. I was born female 58 years ago, and I transitioned to live male 26 years ago. It feels like it never happened on some weird way. I just feel so male now. And so then from there, I really got myself into a better space in the world, and I created the genre of trans male pornography 21 years ago. Ooh. And then through that, I sort of kind of moved into public speaking and really talking about my transition all across the world. And from there, I kind of really got into sexual wellness and created the world's first transsexual male sex toys. And then from that, and I started creating a bunch of products for trans men and sexual wellness. And then I saw cannabis. And, you know, I'm 30 years sober from drugs and alcohol, but I am a user of cannabis. And so that's when I realized cannabis is a very important medication and a plant medicine. And so I got into that particular space. And so here I am today, kind of advocating for wellness on many levels.
Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. Are you listening to this? Where do we start? Where do we start? I have so many questions. I guess the first question, which is so important, are what are your pronouns, Buck?
Okay, yeah, that is the question of the, that's the question of the year, basically. So it's funny because I'm not the guy who does that, but that's, I think it's very respectful, and thank you for asking. So I'm a he, him thing. I live totally as male. And, you know, I had a sex change is kind of what I like to say. So, you know, pretty much I'm a biological female who became a man. So he,
I love it.
Man, I find mister. That.
Man, mister. Yeah, pronouns are, you know, we've been learning about them for the past few years now, but it's important to just ask these questions and be more mm-hmm. comfortable. Even if you feel, right. You know, just challenge yourself to even bring it mm-hmm. up anyways, because it's just respectful at the end of the day anyway. So it never
right.
hurts to ask. And that's I like right. to challenge myself so people can see how easy it is to do it yourself.
No, that's great. That's called a teacher. So you're a teacher. And so today we don't know. People can look male and they might identify as female. So I actually just say hi friend to everybody. I never even use pronouns. I just see people and I'm like, hi friend. That way it's just like, it's just so smooth and you don't really upset somebody, because it can be upsetting to be misgendered for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in the cannabis and sexual health space for 8 years, and this completely opened up my eyes to sexuality, LGBTQ, and learning so much more about sex and everything of its intersection. So I'm really, really excited to have this conversation, because you have an incredibly different lens that I am so excited to amplify and share with everybody on this beautiful experience. So can you tell me, like, how did you come to decision to go forward with the transition? What was that like
for
you? Yeah,
great question. So again, I'm like an elder in the community, and trans has just become a thing in the last 5 years that I never would have expected it to become. So that being said, you know, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California as a little boy, really as a tomboy. My parents were like, I was little Buck. I played with all the boys. I was just a little boy. And so everyone was totally chill about it. This was in the 60s and the 70s. And, you know, everyone said I would grow out of it. That was kind of like the mantra everybody said, but I like to say I grew into it on some level. And it was like very weird because people didn't bother me. I was just a little boy. The thing that happens to us, all of us, and everyone listening could relate to this, is puberty. And that's the part that can be upsetting for many of us, even if you're not trans, just going through puberty, especially females going through puberty have a much harder time than males. And so puberty really just made me spin out because I started growing boobs and I got my period and I didn't know how to deal with it as a guy, right? And men, the boys started making fun of me and I became very isolated as a, you know, teenager, and I became suicidal and alcoholic, tried to commit suicide. And, you know, I had a horrible time growing up on some level. And then I found running, which saved my life on, you know, on some level. And then eventually I just found a therapist who I kept saying I'm a man. And she said, okay, how can we fix this? And I was one of the very first people here in Southern California to transition. There were no doctors. It was very difficult. But really my decision was I couldn't live any longer as a woman. It just was not there for me. And I couldn't, I just said, I'm going to kill myself if I don't do this. So pretty much it was life or death. It was an actual life or death situation for me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that context, because I can't imagine being in those shoes, but I can hear it and I can still relate to it. And I think that we all really just want to be our authentic selves as much as possible. And I'm happy that that journey has really helped you to becoming this amazing, vibrant person who's so comfortable in your skin and you love it. And, you know, and puberty could be so stressful for anyone, but to go through those additional questions of wondering, you know, why am I like this? Is this normal? All of these things, because we're not knowing about what's out there usually. That's at right. That time too. So I thank you for sharing that context, because it's so incredibly important. You did touch on another thing. You know, being trans was very hard. It sounded like that you were going into abuse of alcohol and drugs, I believe you mentioned. Yeah. Could you talk about how, you know, transitioning could be a really hard thing to carry? Other people could know to have compassion for people that are transitioning or going through very touchy subjects around their sexuality.
Yeah. Oh God, there's so many layers. You just, there's so many layers there, my friend. But for myself, you know, for me, I could tell you that I just hated myself, and just hated because everyone would say she to me and everyone would see me, you know, physically as a woman. And it was hard for people when I would say I'm a man, and they'd be like, dude, you're freaking out. You're a lady. And so really, I think the one thing that can give people compassion about people like myself is that all we care about and all we want is for people to see our authentic self. And for me, it was you seeing me as a man. And that's why I am a transsexual person. I am not a transgender person. And let me just explain that real quick here. And today we have transgender, which is an umbrella term for like the variations of gender. And that could be non-binary, gender non-conforming, trans, male, layer upon layer. But it doesn't necessarily represent a person like myself who has a medical condition called gender dysphoria, where I needed medical intervention. I need to take testosterone. I need to have surgery because I wanted to go from a binary female to a binary male, if that makes sense. I just wanted to have a sex change. And so with that, I just wanted the world to see me as a man. And it's not an easy journey, because you have to sort of start in this one place where you look female and you start taking testosterone and you start looking weird and you go through this really weird phase. And again, 26 years ago, I did it
like 26, puberty again.
Totally. And nobody understands it back 26 years ago. We didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet. We had nothing. People freaked out on me because I started looking weird. I lost girlfriends. I lost friends. People were like, you're a weirdo. It was layer upon layer of nonsense. But I'm going to tell you this. I believe in, on some level, suffering creates a better person, because I would not know happiness if I did not know suffering. And that is a real thing. And I'm not saying that everyone should suffer in the world, but on some level, I think I, for my own journey, the suffering, now that I have accepted that, I've accepted my suffering as a means and a way to get to the space where I am today, and to know that now I can be compassionate towards other people's suffering, not just trans people, but all people, whatever that means, right? Could be your color of your skin, could be just your gender, could be your sexuality, could be many things. People are suffering in the world. And so I want people to understand that trans people suffer, but we don't suffer all the time once we get to be the people we need to be. And that's what the world needs to know about us. We just need to get to the other side. Help us get to the other side. And I created myself out of nothing, and I am a very successful person, a person who did not graduate high school. I have no formal education. I was called a dummy my whole life. I was going to amount to nothing. I was suicidal. Here I am. I'm a very successful businessman, and I'm a happy person. And it's because I got to the other side. So that's what I want people to know. Just help us get to the other side.
Exactly. So well said, because it's what we're fighting for trans rights. If we had the right to transition and to have support and to be safe in spaces, then we would feel so much better, less depressed, and these scenarios would be so much more welcoming That's and right. healthy for humanity. And thank you for sharing that, because I hope that shares some context for the listeners that are listening. And maybe you could share this with someone who wants to, you know, be a little bit more educated on even the term transgender versus transsexual.
That's right. There's differences there, and we need to understand the differences within the trans community. We're not monolithic. No community is. And we all have different needs. You know, I'm an elder. I have a different outlook than the younger generation. They're coming up not wanting to transition like me. They don't want to have a sex change. They just want to be a trans. Now trans is an identity. My transsexualness is not my identity. I'm not a transsexual man. I'm a man with a transsexual experience. So that being said, you see the difference. Today kids are like, I'm trans, and that's awesome, but it does not reflect mine. So we also need to understand there's different needs within this community, and we need to all start respecting. And that's right with any community. With cannabis community, there's going to be different needs and different, there's a lot of that in the cannabis community.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And I'm curious, you know, how has cannabis affected your life, especially within this whole phase of transitioning? I'm so curious. How did that play into a role? Because I know you're a big fan of weed.
I'm a huge fan of weed. So that being said, I got sober 30 years ago from drugs and alcohol. I was homeless, cracked out of my brains, prostituting prior to my transition. I mean, it's actually a miracle that I'm alive. And that is why I celebrate my life every single day, because I honestly should not be here, and the universe saved my life for a reason. I believe that I have a voice for a reason. And so that said, I was cracked out, smoking crack, you know, drinking out of my mind, because I hated myself. And so as sobriety happened, that's when my transition happened. And as my transition happened, and I started becoming a happier person, and I started doing so many things, anxiety came on me because of my businesses and just life. And, you know, and then I started traveling the world, and I couldn't sleep, and I started taking sleeping pills, and I was like, why am I taking these? I hate them. They're gross. And then I'll never forget, my friend said, dude, try cannabis. And I'm like, dude, I'm sober. And he's like, dude, you're taking sleeping pills.
Funny enough.
Busted me, totally busted me. I'm like, you are right. Mm-hmm. So I tried cannabis. And I was like, what? I slept like a baby, better than I've ever slept before. And I'm like, I don't care what anybody says. This is my sobriety. I've always been the guy who runs my own life. I don't follow rules or regulations. I run my own life. And so I said, I can do this in sobriety. And so I started to do it. It's never made me drink alcohol, never made me go back to crack, never. I use cannabis as a medication. And once I learned how to use it and understanding it as a medication and respecting it as a medication, it totally changed my life. And that's pretty much how I came into the cannabis sector, by celebrating my sobriety with cannabis, and by celebrating my sobriety by using cannabis. It's been a very interesting journey.
Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah,
Like,
right
that's
on.
so fascinating. Because when it comes to cannabis use, what I love that people say is that whether you're using cannabis for recreational use or medical uses, you're still going to get the medicinal benefits regardless because they're just
That's right.
there, right? But I
That's
think
right.
you took it a step beyond and you put that intention at hand. You know,
That's
if you
right.
can smoke cannabis and you could pass out all day and eat cookies, we can also smoke cannabis only at nighttime so you can use it for sleeping, you know, and actual
That's
purposes.
right.
Rather than recreational purposes. So
That's right.
there's a lot to it in terms of so many things.
I mean, so many things. That's why I educate around it now. And it's very important that I educate it as a sober person. And I cannot tell you how many sober people have come to me and said, thank you, Buck. Thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking out about it, because it is true. I use cannabis too, but every time I say it, you know, I get nailed by my sober friends or AA or whatever. And I go, that's not fair. Everybody is different. And everybody's needs are different, and all of us are able to find our space in the world. And I think there's nothing so everything is so hard edged, right? Like it either it's black or white, or it's a, that's not the way the world works. There is always nuance in everything, and you need to find that nuance in order for yourself to find your own space. And I think if people who are listening to this, nuance is such a word that has been put to the side on so many particular things we argue about today, that there is no nuance in anything. It's just, yeah, it's this way. No, it's, and it's like, no, cannabis is the same thing. There's a lot of nuance in cannabis.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
It's so many layers that it becomes personalized medicine at the end of the day.
That's right. Right on.
Which makes me think, like, you know, when using cannabis as a medicine, were there any health issues that happened during your transition that maybe cannabis helped you with, or?
Oh gosh. So, wow, I had a horrible, horrible space that, I mean, something very bad happened to me. And so I do share this a lot. And I actually even made a YouTube video. Anyone could go to my YouTube channel and see it. But that being said, about 10 years into my transition, I started getting these weirdly weird cramps, like period. Like I can say period cramps because I used to get my period. And I'm all like, wait, I'm like, I don't remember. I'm getting period cramps. This is not okay. I'm a man on my period. No. And so I was like, really? And it always happened after sex, after I would have an orgasm. I would get these insane cramps that were like, you know, in that area where your uterus is, like right there. And you're just like, I was like for hours upon hours. And so I would go to the gynecologist. Mm. That's a whole other story. I'm at, look at me going to the gynecologist. It was horrifying. Anyway, I finally found a gynecologist because many of them said they would not touch me. They were uncomfortable working with me. So I would finally found some lady who was cool about it. And she said, there's nothing wrong with you. Like I did a pap smear. You look fine. Just, you know, I don't know, take some Advil next time. So I was like, what? So it kept going on and on and on until eventually I dropped on the floor one day after working out at the gym, and I got rushed to the hospital with 110 degree temperature. And I lived in Mexico at the time. And in the hospital, I remember going in, I was delirious. And they were like, oh my God, oh my God. And they're rushing me. And I'm like, oh, they're going to pull my pants down and they're going to see a vagina and they're going to freak because I'm literally in another country. So yeah. I go, I look up and I'm like, I go, I have a vagina. And I think, they thought that I was totally delirious and freaked out because they're like, it's okay, dude. Just lay down for a minute. And I'm like, no, I have a vagina, because I didn't want them to get totally freaked out. But long story short, I had atrophied in my reproductive system. And what happened was my cervix and my uterus sort of fused together, which is really sickening because it didn't make anything function. Like, you know, your reproductive system is like a self-cleaning oven. You know what I mean? It has like, it's a cycle that's what your period and everything does. Nothing was coming out. It was just staying in because it was shut off because of the atrophy. And so I got septic because it popped. It was an infection that popped inside and I became septic. And if anyone knows, that basically means death. So they said if I didn't get to the hospital at the time I did, I would have died from from being septic. But in a long story short, they did a vaginal hysterectomy and took everything out. And it was pretty much one of the first, or is the first recorded case of atrophy from long-term use of testosterone on a female-bodied person. If that makes a lot of words there. So yeah, that's one of the most insane things that have ever happened to me. And it was horrifying. And it was, again, I am an experiment. We don't know trans medicine. Trans medicine is still 26 later, years later, experimental. So, you know, I'm an experiment really on so many levels. And you know, it's important that I talk about this so the younger generation doesn't have to deal with the same medical problems I do.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so thankful for you being here and doing all of this work and working on it, but not only just doing it for yourself, but sharing with so many others. I think that it could really help so many people.
I mean, even women, mm-hmm. atrophy, that's what happens. So atrophy basically is when you go through your menopause, right? It's when estrogen is removed from your vaginal area because of, you know, you're going through menopause. Or for me, it was because I put testosterone in my body, which removed the estrogen, and they didn't know, they know nothing about that. So, you know, it's so important that we have these conversations, because even women don't talk about these things. It's weird how we don't talk about vaginal health.
Well, it's not weird to me, because if anything I've learned, it's the least studied area in the body.
And that's
it's
right.
the least funded area in the body. And I think that's the weird part, because I'm like, weren't we all birthed from there?
thank you, friend. You know, it should be revered. It should be like a huge monument in the middle of the world. It's the whole reason we're here, because of it's
we
so
should
weird.
Know every inch, every
that's
cell,
right.
everything
that's right.
that is going on. So I
that's
think
right.
that there's a long way to go. So thank you for sharing that story, because I would have
right
never
on.
Known. And I hope that's that we right. can further inspire more research in that area.
We can, and we will. As long as we continue to talk about it, we can and we will, most definitely. But the one thing I have to tell you is, it feels kind of upsetting to me on some level that now I'm a man and I talk about my vagina as a man and people listen to me. And, you know, I kind of feel like when you're a woman and you're saying these things, you don't get listened. You don't mm-hmm. get the same amount of attention. And I know that. I used to live as a woman, and the way people treated me is so different than the way they treat me now. I'm a man. I'm a white dude who walks the world, and I get pretty much anything I want. So it's upsetting that because I'm a man with a vagina, I feel like I get the attention rather than women should be talking about this too and get the same attention. So, you know, I guess, I don't know, does that make sense?
It's nice to be validated that we're not crazy and that
that's
you do
right.
experience the same
that's
thing, right?
And I'm a man telling you, yeah, they do. That's a real thing women go through.
Yeah, exactly. First-hand experience. So what, you know, I'm curious, like, what is it like being a trans person? How has that affected your sex life and relationships?
Yeah. Wow. Great question. So for me, it was very difficult in the beginning to date because I didn't get bottom surgery, which is what we call the penis surgery. And I chose to keep my vagina for many reasons, but I did. And I had to learn to sort of really deal with that because it wasn't easy being a man and having a vagina and wanting to be sexual. And I have a high sex drive and all those things. And here I am trying to date people, and like I'm always been about disclosure. I will never not disclose who I am. And you know, there's that's a big debate in my community, and I'm totally against not disclosing. I think disclosing really helps both of us. Me, let's say I was gonna date you and look at me, I look like a dude. You would never know I have a vagina, and it would be rude if you were expecting me to have, you know, this big penis pop out and here I am with a vagina. It's upsetting. It can be upsetting to you and it could be upsetting to me. So I just don't understand why people don't disclose. It's mm-hmm. like if you have HIV or some kind of STD or something, you disclose before you have sex. So that being said, I disclosed a lot in the beginning and I didn't get a lot of dates. people. So, you know, just so you know, also my sexuality changed through my transition, and I was mostly only, I only dated and had sex with women prior to my transition. And now I'm fully bisexual. I totally have sex with men and women, or it's just about people for me. It's not even so much about gender at this point, but it did change through transition. And I really believe that came from the comfort of my body. And so, you know, I would disclose with men, hey, I'm not the man you think I am. And I would say more men were opting out of having sex with me and more women were opting in to have sex with me.
I love that.
Which is kind of interesting if you think about it on some mm-hmm. level. So I don't even know what that means, but it really says a lot about like just the psyche and what people are looking for. But I think women are emotionally more attached to their sexual space, where men are more physically attached to their sexual space, if that makes sense.
I would assume so, most definitely. Yeah. And I think that, like you were mentioning, you know, do you disclose or do you not disclose? I feel like that disclosure helps understand your partner so much better, you know, and then you can love them in an even deeper light. So why not? Right. You know, I think that would just, it makes things so much hotter, sexier, more acceptable.
Right.
Like
that's
everything
right.
is good, you know?
That's right.
But I can understand how some might want to leave that in their past, you know? So I think
I do. But at the same time, So consent, right? You believe in consent, right? So how can you consent to have sex with me if you're not being told 100% the realities of having sex with me? Mm-hmm. So, right? So there's that. And I do understand there's many people who don't want to say about their past, but I still don't think it's right. And I still think on some level it's deceiving. And I don't want to deceive you. I have no desire to deceive you. And I don't want to be having sex with somebody who will be grossed out by my body once I take my clothes off. So yeah, how hurtful it is to disclose is also a respectful space, not only for you, but also for myself. But again, it's a very, very personal choice on many levels.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's always about, it comes back to understanding, because these experiences are all so unique. That's and right. I think that's the beauty in it, to be honest. That's what I really love about it.
Yes.
I'm curious, you know, because I know you're a big lover of cannabis. Like, how has cannabis affected your sex life? And feel free to share those fun cannabis experiences that you've shared with me before.
So, you know, cannabis, Jane, I love sex with cat. I mean, that's really what I promote, I'll be honest with you. Like, really in my cannabis sort of education, I talk about how cannabis can alleviate anxiety for some people. It doesn't work for everybody. We know that. Me and you are totally on the same page with that. Cannabis cannot work for everybody. It does not work for everybody. That being said, once you find if it does work for you, I found that even specifically within my LGBT and specifically within the trans community, there's a lot of trans people who use cannabis to alleviate that sexual anxiety. And it gives you the space to just be like, I'm high and we're going to have sex. And this is so, it just gets you out of your brain, if that makes sense. Because the brain is what's stopping you from having great sex. Because all you're thinking about is my body. How do I look? What does it smell like? Like, there's just a million things that are going on here, right? And so that's not letting you have that experience sexually. So for me, cannabis also took me out of that space, and so that's why I educate around the fact that, you know, you're nervous that somebody's going to go down on you, and then maybe it's just going to be a weird thing. Then if you're stoned, you're just like, I don't care. Exactly. It's like awesome and fun. That's how I sort of perceive cannabis as a means and a way to sort of connect with yourself, because our brains get in our way many, many, many times. And I think cannabis enables us to get out of our brains and experience things on a more spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. To be present, to enjoy more, have a larger capacity of pleasure, right?
That's right. To not care, to not care what people think about you, because that's really what's happening when you're not having good sex. You're really thinking about what's actually happening. How are people thinking about this, as opposed to just feeling what's going on and connecting with that other person, right? Cannabis makes it connect.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. It's like puff, puff, pass, right?
That's right. Right on.
I was kind of curious. Did you use cannabis when you were doing your adult acting?
That's a great question too. Mm-hmm. No, I only started using cannabis about 6 years ago. Mm. So I started my pornography 21 years ago, and I was super sober at the time. And so no, I didn't, but I was very confident in myself. And so that my confidence level is just, I don't know how I got such a confidence level, but I do. I that's one thing I will admit. I have huge amount of confidence in myself. And so it enabled me to be able to be literally naked to the world 20 years ago. And no one had ever seen a man like me, especially in porn. I was the first one. So it was like, I got a lot of shit from the world. I got a lot of hate. I got a lot of just insane people coming at me because I was exposing a man with a vagina, and people mm-hmm. didn't like that. I was sort of on some level changing people's perspective of what it means to be a man. And so, you know, my mantra that time was always, you don't need a penis to be a man. And so men would get very mad at me about that. They'd be like, yes, you do. And I'm like, well, actually, dude, what if you lost your penis? What if, but you know, yeah. what if something happened and you got cancer of your testicles? Are you actually, you know, does that, this was always the question. And I knew it. Every time I asked dudes that question, they would just go blank. They would just look, I'm like, so why are you not answering the question, dude? And they're like, well, yeah, okay, you got me there. I go, no, I don't got you. That's like a real thing. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a penis, you are still a man. And so, and you know, it's just very complicated on some level, gender. Gender is just complicated.
It is.
It's this idea of what makes you.
At this point, it's like a construct, right?
That's right. That's right.
It totally really want to go about it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm a firm believer of biology, but I'm also a believer that gender is a construct on some level. And so, you know, we have to understand that not everyone's going to fit neatly into the gender box. I do. I feel very comfortable being male and male with a vagina. That being said, some people don't want to be, like when you asked me my pronouns, some people don't want to be male or female now. They want to just be non. And so we need to respect all of these spaces, and we need to understand that everything isn't what you see, right? What you see isn't necessarily what that is. So, you know, again, things are an illusion on many levels.
I love that. And I think there's so much beauty in it. Like, I had the biggest like crush the other day. I had, I moved into a new condo and I had these workers come in, like painting my house and fixing up these little scuffles. And, you know, I couldn't tell if she was a, you know, man, woman, but she was so beautiful. And I was just so sexually attracted to them. I was like, oh my God. I actually caught myself like staring for like 2 seconds. I was like, oh my God, I need to like stay in my room right now. This is so rude. Because, you know, they're just doing their job and whatever. But at the end of the day, I think that there's so much beauty in knowing that there's so much more out there.
That's right.
And it's not something to be feel for of, like, nobody's taking anything away. It's just that there's more to love and there's more to explore. And I think that's the best part.
It's ridiculous.
I love exploring my sexuality. Too. I love exploring kinks. Like, I had a play partner and I had a new play partner. And, you know, I was just like, what kind of stuff are you into? And I mentioned like daddy-daughter play. Awesome. And then like after I spoke it, I was just like, am I really still into that? I was like, I think I'm kind of over that, actually. You know, I think I need something else now.
Hilarious.
Like, you know, and it was cool. Like, I kind of wanted to try it with him, but then I just like totally got turned off. And I was like, you know, I need something new. So I find that there's always opportunity for exploration. And I think that cannabis makes people pleasure curious. Like, wouldn't you agree?
100%. 100%. And I do think that is really why a lot of people use it. I do think so. I do think people do see that the positive sexual side of cannabis and how it really is. It alleviates that anxiety. It gets people into the sexual space. And I just think that's a lot of the future of cannabis and why I sort of created my space in the cannabis world to really talk about the sexual aspects of it within my community and how it can help us all sort of, you know, trans people have a hard time connecting to their bodies because we're not born with the bodies we sort of are supposed to love. And so really learning to find that space, even though you might not be 100% male or female or whatever you need to be, it's a hard thing to do. And I think I could say human beings have a hard time with their bodies, right? Women have all these issues, men have issues. Well, I want to be more muscular, I need bigger boobs. I mean, we all kind of can understand that situation. And we're so hard on ourselves around how we're supposed to look to the world instead of understanding you need to be comfortable in yourself before the world will. Yeah, once I became comfortable with myself, the world became comfortable with me. Prior to that, the world did not like me. But once I said, hey, this is who I am, take it or leave it, and I found my road in the world, people don't even care about me anymore. They're just like, that's cool, dude, right on. Wow, now nobody cares about my vagina anymore. That's so awesome.
That's amazing. Share with the listeners, what are you doing in cannabis now?
So now basically I'm just really doing education work. I talk about it all the time. I really put myself out there. I become sort of like, I hate this word, but influencer. And what I mean by that is that I have a lot of companies reaching out to me and saying, you know, your voice and how you talk about it with it. Cause I'm really one of the very first trans people in the industry. And really I'm the first trans man to own my own company. I just really saw a future and I didn't get into it just for me. I got into it in order to bring my community into it because I felt that we were going to get lost in the shuffle, just like people of color and just like everybody else getting lost in it, because the money is the reigning space there. But so I saw an opening to create a space where I could talk about it in a very educational experience and bring it to my community. So today, that's what I do. I just really bring it to my community. I talk to a lot of different companies and really wanting to bring the health aspects of it out to the world. And so it's been really rewarding on many levels to, you know, watch plant medicine grow. And not only, right, all the other plant medicines that we're bringing on board. And it's just beautiful mm-hmm. to see people being aware that this can be the future of medicine, which is so beautiful and amazing. And it will change the world for sure.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And there's even like amazing people like Renee Gagnon. She was
She's one of my best friends.
Yeah. I love her to death. She was one of my mentors early on in the industry.
You are so lucky. She is
2016.
Yep. She's one of my best friends. Yep.
So for those who are listening, Renee Gagnon is the first trans woman to mm-hmm. own an LP in Canada, and first woman, period, actually.
Period.
In Canada. Right. She's such an amazing powerhouse. She's such a genius. She has so much passion. She's so well spoken. I can only say great things about her.
I have to tell you, you're so blessed, you know, that to have her in your side, because she cares about us. She does. She cares about creating a world that's just so powerful, and she's a powerhouse. And I'll never forget the first time I met her, it was here in LA. She came down for a big party, and then she came right up to me and she's like, "Hi, Buck, my name's Renee." And I was like, "What?" And she's telling me, I'm like, "What?" And we were just like, immediately, I said, "You are badass." She's like, "I'm so nervous," because it was the first time I think she had come out as a woman in public. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Don't you worry. I have your back. Nobody will ever speak any nonsense to you." And I remember it was so difficult for her to be in that space. It's a very difficult space for a trans woman to be in. And like, just the first time you walk out as a woman. Was so respectful. Everyone was so great to her. And it just made me proud of the community. It made me proud of the cannabis community. How people just embraced her.
I love that. Yeah. Always impressed since the very moment I met her. She's the one to know for sure. Most definitely. So this has been such a dope podcast.
Thank you,
like
friend.
This is
you're
such
so
a great
awesome.
Conversation. Buck, you're amazing. Like, oh my God. Like,
I'm going to hire you to be my PR agent.
I'd love to be. Oh my God. I could think of great things to talk about you. Like, you're not going to get them. How could you not? You know?
Right on.
It's been such a great conversation, and I know this will help so many other people, and I'm really glad to raise awareness on the topic of trans people, atrophy, cannabis, addiction, depression, and all of those things that, you know, the intersectionalities of sexual health and cannabis are fascinating. Yeah. So we have rapid fire questions to wrap up this last few moments with us. So I need to know, what is your favorite strain, Buck? You got to tell us, and why.
Indica. I use only indica, and then I've been really doing wedding cake right now, which is actually knocking me out. I'm serious, knocking me out. And I'm like, that's all I need. I'm done. Because I just like to be knocked out, I'll be honest. Look, I have a lot of energy. Yeah, you have a lot of energy too. I'm just an energy person, and I need to like calm down at night. It's so hard for me. So I only use indica, and right now I'm really using wedding cake.
I love that, because I honestly, if I don't smoke before bed, I will just stay up the whole night. Like,
that's
completely.
Right.
Like,
that's right.
I'll just do an all-nighter. Yeah, you heard
me
that.
Too.
I will not sleep. It's so weird.
It's weird.
My next question is, how do you like to consume that indica?
Oh, so, you know, right now I'm vaping a lot, but I'm also really big into joints. I'm old school. I like to roll my own joints. I like to, it's just a whole ritual. It's kind of a ritual for me, just like rolling my joints, sitting back with my dog or whatever and smoking my joint and just chilling. Sometimes I go out, I live close to the mountains here in LA and take my dog up for a run. And so at the top of the mountain, I'll just get my joint out and smoke it and then run back home. It's awesome.
Awesome. Rolling joints. You know what's so funny? I've been in the industry for 8 years and I like still don't roll my own joints.
Wow. Yeah. It's a
but
skill.
But I'm a bong queen. I'm a bong queen.
Right on. I like bongs too. But the thing with the bong is I get way more ripped on a bong. But I don't know. It's sort of me. It's just the ritual of smoking that joint. It really is. It's just so it feels very old school to me.
Yeah, like I feel like the joint just takes too long for me.
It does.
Knocked out.
It totally does. But those vapes have been knocking me out. Wow. Holy crap. They were super strong for me. And you know, I've been smoking for 6-7 years and I still kind of am a lightweight.
I love that. Yeah. Keep it light. If you do joints, I think you won't have any issues there.
That's right.
But where can our audience find you? How can we, you know, follow you, support you?
I'm so excited.
I really want to know where you do you sell that that hat because it's so cool. He's wearing a Tranpa. Like, you know, grandpa.
I'll send you one. Just send me your address. I'll send you one. It would be awesome if you wear it, as long as you take a picture and send it to me and I can post it.
Yeah, I'll send you some CBD suppositories or something.
Oh, right on. Yeah, no, actually, we had talked about working on some products together, so we should talk about that down the road.
Oh, my God.
At least me pushing your products towards certain communities. I would love to do that and work with you. You're amazing.
Oh my God, the listeners, totally awesome. I'm like basically kidnapping Buck virtually. He's going to like teach a class with us. We're going to go high to high. We'll do a giveaway, but I'm obsessed. So this will not be the last time you see Buck. Don't worry.
Just see me I'm everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, just Buck Angel. And I'm to your listeners, I'm accessible. If you want to talk to me about anything personal or private, please reach out to me. I'm always there. I'm a community service person and I believe in giving back to the universe. So I'm here for you if anyone needs to have a conversation with me.
Thanks, Buck. You're the best. And I have a last question. Is there anything you would love to say to any of our audience that's listening? One last thing that you would just love to share with everybody.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to say is if you have no compassion in your heart, try to learn that compassion changes the world. And what I mean by that is judgment is not compassion. Judgment means you are making a judgment and you're not opening your heart to change. So I understand it's very difficult for a lot of people to see things that don't resonate within themselves, but that doesn't mean that it's not the right thing. So I'm just really reaching to the world these days and asking people to start to learn to have compassion for things that don't necessarily resonate with you. So that's what I want to leave you.
Perfect. That's a great way to end it. Thank you so much, Buck Angel. This has been an amazing Pleasure Talks podcast episode. Stay tuned for the next one. We always love bringing people into our community. You're invited as well. Follow us on social media at pleasurepeaks.com. And we'll see you at the next one. Take care, pleasure lovers. Ciao.